There are a million ways to make money in the food service industry. You just have to find one. On the Titans of Food Service podcast, I interview real life movers and shakers in the food game who cut through all the noise to get to the top. My name is Nick Portillo, and welcome to the Titans of Food Service podcast. Let's jump right into it. Hello to my fellow food service community. From my sunny Orange County, California studio, Nick Portillo here, and this is the Titans of Food Service. In today's episode, I'm joined by none other than Dan Gordon. Dan, he's an executive and speaking coach who epitomizes the art of unleashing hidden potential. Dan's a fearless catalyst for transformation, guiding sales professionals to elevate their game and break free from self-imposed limitations. With a philosophy rooted in the belief that everyone possesses unique strengths, Dan teaches us that it's not just about being good at something, it's about giving a voice to what makes us truly interesting. This is a point we're going to go over in the episode. But join me and Dan as we talk about how to unleash the inner titan within, empowering entrepreneurs to achieve greater levels of success. Let's go ahead and welcome Dan. All right, Dan, welcome to the Titans of Food Service podcast. I appreciate you coming on here today. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to our conversation and welcome.
I'm loving it. All right, let's dive in, man. Where do we begin?
Okay. I'd like to start off with the Fiery Five food service questions. Fun, okay. Just five easy icebreaker questions. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah. Is there a timer?
There's no timer. Oh. Nope.
You got to put the pressure on, man. That's where I thrive. Exactly.
Okay, good. Okay, here's the first one. Uh-huh. If you could have dinner with any one person, historical or alive, who would it be and why?
Well, it can't be Captain Kirk because he doesn't fall into the criteria. But in all honesty, has to be Dr. King, Dr. Martin Luther King.
Amazing.
When I was in sixth grade, I pulled his name out of a little coffee can to do a book report on him. And ever since then, I have been fascinated with this man. And really, Dr. King kicked off my interest in high achievers and what it is that makes high achievers, like what makes them work. And, you know, I followed him, Gandhi, Mother Teresa, then like Richard Branson, Elon Musk. And it's really interesting, the things that make these people tick and the raw materials that they have, which is all pretty similar.
Okay, great answer. Great start.
All right.
Question number two. If someone had one night in the city of Crestline, where you live, which is a small town, God, I know up in the mountains here,
I tell
in
them
Southern
to leave.
California.
Okay, go ahead.
Where must they eat?
Okay, so that's actually a really good question. There is a place called The Stockade. And it's a groovy little bar that someone just from LA took over. And, you know, it was sort of a dive. And he's made it in this really nice place. I mean, the hamburgers are just out of this world. It's hard to get a good hamburger in Los Angeles. Like, I'm from the Midwest. I'm from St. Louis. Like, we are born barbecuing, and it's hard to get a really good burger in LA. So yeah, definitely.
Question number three: if you could only have one type of cuisine for the rest of your life, what would it be and why?
Man, heck. Well, deli. Look, I'm a Jewish guy from the Midwest. It's just, you know, if that's got to be it, it's got to be deli.
Okay. Okay. Are there any foods or dishes you've wanted to try but haven't yet?
No, absolutely not.
You've tried them all.
No, I go right after the things I want.
Amazing. Do you have a favorite food-related memory from traveling?
Yeah, this is really funny. This is something recent. I was doing a speaking gig in Phoenix. And so we took a little tour on the way back. And just stopped at a bunch of different places. And we really wanted some Indian food. And my fiance is a vegetarian. So like Indian food is something that's always easy. And couldn't find any, like, there was one Indian restaurant, it was closed. I found this other one. And we pull in and Rosalind's like, what are you turning around here? I'm like, no, this is it. It was at a truck stop. Literally, it's a truck stop, and we walk in. It is the diviest dive in the world. But oh my God, the food was out of this world. It was so good. And we have like had this private joke between us, like we only go to restaurants at truck stops because of that. And we found this at the coffee shop at a truck stop that was really good too. So yeah, I mean, that was the best. That was really, really good. And you know, when we talk about Indian food, we're like, how far away is that place? Can we drive?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for humoring me. I can't even speak today on the Fiery Five food service questions. Okay. Let's jump into it. Who, maybe a little background on yourself. Who are you? What is your business?
I'm a troublemaker, man. Stay away from me. It's funny because I say that when I go into networking events and someone says, what do you do for a living? I say, I'm a professional troublemaker. And I do that for two reasons. One, I kind of am. And two, it's interesting. And it's kind of leads to what I wanted to share with your audience today, which, in the most important thing in our culture is to be interesting. The second most important thing is to be good. Because we've, with social media and just the way that things have evolved, it is being interesting that draws people's focus. And so, look, you can't just be interesting. You do have to be good. But the mistake I see a lot of people making is they put a lot of time into being good. And they think, well, if I'm really good at what I do, then I'll get a lot of clients and customers. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, that's not what works. What works is drawing people's interest. And so saying I'm a professional troublemaker makes people lean in and go, well, what do you mean by that? As opposed to saying, well, I'm a business coach. And right, the first thing that people think is, oh, okay, he's going to try to enroll me as a client. Because look, I'll be honest, I hate most coaches because that's what they do most of the time is just try to, sucker people into their stupid programs. And so it really is a matter of creating yourself as a brand creating your business as a brand and making that brand something that people want to lean into and know more about.
For those that are uninteresting, how can they become? Sorry, call out probably to some people out there.
Look, everybody's interesting. It's how, look, I didn't come into the world like this. I was a really shy, quiet kid. I was picked on in junior high school, beaten up in high school. I was, really heavy and I reached a point early in my life where I said, I don't want to be like this. I was like looking around and having that thought about Dr. King. Well, what is it? I mean, I breathe the same air everybody else does. What is it that makes me, what makes them different? And what it is your willingness to challenge yourself, your willingness to be uncomfortable, your willingness to step out of a place that feels familiar. And so if you do that consistently, you can change your way of being. I mean, I could really have easily said, look, I'm shy, I'm an introvert, I'm just being myself. That's how I am. But I think that's a bit of a cop-out. I think that you can evolve into a kind of person that you want to be. And frankly, that's what I've done for the past 20 years is help. I've helped over 1,000 entrepreneurs evolve into living a kind of life that they dreamed of, but didn't think was possible.
In terms of helping entrepreneurs find the dreams that they didn't think that was possible.
Yeah.
How do you actually, let's take a step back.
Okay.
In terms of looking at, interesting and good. I agree that a lot of people, or most people, they're interesting in some way, but it's really, as you're, I think, kind of alluding to, is getting it out of them and like formulating it in a conversation or in a presentation or whatever it is. How best can someone determine, what makes them interesting and share that with the world?
The best way to be interesting is to be completely interested in someone else. Mm. If you show a great deal of interest in other people, immediately they think you're brilliant. And it's just endemic in our humanity. Let me give you an example. When I moved to I moved to LA when I was 39, right? I spent 39 years in St. Louis, Missouri, and then moved out to LA. I didn't know anybody. I didn't have a job, I didn't have anything here. And I wanted to make movies. And so I joined this little networking group and they said, you gotta go to networking events. I'm like, all right, what's a networking event? And And I said, well, what am I going to talk about? Like, I just moved here. I don't know what I'm doing. And they said, look, just talk about, like, get people to talk about themselves. It's LA. People love talking about themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I did. I just invested myself in other people. Like, what do you do? And how does that work? And I just got really curious because people would talk about the kind of things that they do in the movie industry. And it was really interesting to me. So I just kept asking questions. And then, you know, people started offering me, hey, like, if you need help, and, you know, I got like free lights and all this stuff because I was just interested in other people. And so it starts there. Be genuinely interested in other people. And then when it comes to kind of showing up as an interesting person, never say what you do. And never say the clinical expression of what you do. Like, you know, like, I'm a lawyer, I'm a coach, I'm a podcaster, right? That's not interesting. Mm-hmm. You want to give a twist to it that makes people, that drives people's curiosity and it makes them lean in and say, what do you mean by that? And that's how you start to formulate a level of being interesting. Now, I can't tell you what that is. Like, I don't have a list, you know, like a flow chart of, okay, you're this, say this. Mm-hmm. But what happens is the more you're out there talking to other people, the more you start recognizing what it is that captures people's interest. And there's no other way to do this than to do it. Like, you can't do it on ChatGPT. You can't, you know, do a Google search. You got to get out there and see what it is that drives people to want to know more about you.
I could definitely speak to that. When I started this podcast, when I'd have people come on, I'd have like 3 pages of questions typed out and notes. Right. And I just kind of go through the questions formulaically. Over time, I learned how to become a better conversationalist. Mm-hmm. You know, as you're saying, like getting more interested in others, you know, tell me about yourself and why, and like digging levels deeper and learning more about them and what makes them unique. And I feel like it's really, even again, as you said, it, like, it's kind of repetition and practice. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten better at it because I've done it, you know, over 60 times now.
Yeah.
And it's really translated, you know, both here on the podcast, of course, but also my personal and professional life as well. Mm.
That's great. The other thing, you know, and that's what I'm talking about. You're actually doing that, right? Like, you tried something like, well, I did the same thing when I launched for Badass Entrepreneurs. I would spend a day doing research on the people that I was interviewing. And it's like, and it took forever, and I quit for a while because I was just burnt out, right? So you got to go easy.
Any tactics around, let's take myself. I always like to use myself as an example.
Sure.
I consider myself an extroverted introvert. So I, by nature, I am an introvert, but I have the ability to come off as extroverted. For those introverts out there, let's say they're in a sales profession, because I feel like introverts can be just as good as extroverts.
Yeah.
But how can they break through? Maybe sometimes an introvert might be labeled as shy or maybe a little bit more reserved. Mm-hmm. How can they break through to, again, help share what makes them interesting?
Okay. That's a great question. And let me back up a bit from that, because it's a bit different. So in networking, you do want to capture people's interest, but in sales, you want to focus on being interested in the other person. The big mistake that people make when they go to sell something is they're focused on their product or service. And then deeper, they're focused on the features and benefits of their product or service. And they think, hey, if I share my features and benefits, and if I educate someone about my features and benefits and my product, they're going to make the natural, logical conclusion of purchasing it.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. Because what you're not doing is you're not showing any interest in the other person. You're showing interest in the person buying what you have, but you're not exploring what's going on with them. And so you want to ask them questions, but not questions that are designed to get them to buy the product, right? If I'm selling you, I don't know, a coffee mug, right? And I start with, you know, don't you hate it when you pour your coffee in your mug and a minute later it's cold? Don't you hate that? And you know where this is going, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, of course, I hate that just like everybody else. So then you should really look at this mug. I'm like, ugh. And you know, it's the same pitch they do for everyone. So you're not special. They don't care about you. As yeah. opposed to, hey, what kind of coffee do you drink, man? Like, what's your favorite kind of coffee? Oh, really? You know, what do you like about it? Yeah. And then when you get two or three questions in, stop asking questions and make a statement. Because you get to a point really quick where somebody you make someone feel like you're conducting an interrogation, and the interrogation leads to them buying what you're selling, right? People don't mm-hmm. like being led down the primrose path. So it's like, you know, I look at you and I see someone who loves their morning coffee but doesn't like drinking coffee during the day because keeps you up at night. Mm-hmm. Am I right about that? Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So let's say, yes, I am. Okay. Then I want to follow up with something, not about buying my coffee mug. Okay. But let's say I'm wrong about that. You're like, no, I love drinking coffee throughout the day. Like, whoa, I was completely wrong about that. Man, how do you do that? Like, how do you drink coffee at like 3 o'clock and then go to sleep, right? So we're still having an authentic conversation that is not about my product.
No, it's maybe like more relationship building.
Yeah.
You know, kind of building trust in somebody before the product is introduced, or mm-hmm. before you start trying to sell your product. You're kind of building the relationship and then meshing the product or the sale or service, whatever it is, into your conversation.
Mm-hmm. That's it. The best of all worlds, wait for the other person to bring up your product, right? So I've been working with a bunch of realtors. In fact, tonight I'm doing a presentation to help realtors sell better. And one of the things I tell them is don't talk about the house. You know, when someone comes in, ask them questions like, wow, you look like a first-time buyer. I go, oh, yeah, like, it's great because you have that first-time buyer enthusiasm, you know? Like, mm-hmm. and don't talk, you know, like, well, this is a great house for first-time buyers. No, just talk about what the experience is like of buying of home shopping. Is it stressful? And then let them ask the question. Like, that. Let them lead into the sale. Because it's a lot more organic, and it shows that you're not just focused on selling the house. The worst thing that you can do in any sales or leadership experience is make someone feel like you're maneuvering them into something.
I like that. For me, one example that comes to my mind, so I'm a food broker, and I represent different food manufacturers. And they essentially, they hire us to be their sales and marketing team within mm-hmm. the markets that we're in, California, Nevada, and Hawaii. So those are our markets. And they'll have a representative from the manufacturer. They'll fly out or they'll come visit us here, let's say in Southern California, where I'm based. And I will set up an appointment with, let's take a restaurant chain. So we'll go into that restaurant chain. It's myself and then the representative from the manufacturer. And a lot of times I will have the relationship with the customer we're going to see, but the manufacturer walks in and immediately starts trying to sell their product. Hi, I'm Joe. I'm with this company. Here's my products. Why don't you try them? And a lot of times I want to hide underneath the desk because it's so cringy. I'm like, gosh, if you just take, even if it's just 5 minutes, like, let's just break some ice here. Who are you? What makes you interesting? We know your products are going to be good, but I like to think in my head is I don't necessarily want your products to be memorable. I want you to be memorable.
Yeah.
That's what's important. So when that decision maker, maybe they buy something today, maybe they buy something in a year from now, but when they're ready to buy, they think of Joe mm-hmm. as the person with the solutions, with the products that I know he can deliver for me.
Yeah. And, you know, Nick, think about this. What if that manufacturer, what if the distributors came in and just started giving the restaurant owner some advice? Mm. You know, like, hey, you know, we work with a lot of chain restaurants. There's this new software that that it's out right now. People are loving it. Have you heard of XYZ? No. Okay. It's going to completely transform how you do, you know, this, and this. You really should check it out. By the way, we get a 15-day free trial. Let me give you a discount code so you can give it a shot, right? Right there, you're offering value. Okay? So mm-hmm. at the very least, like, say something nice about them, about their restaurant, right? About the chain, about just something other than here, buy my crap.
I like to equate it to someone going on the other side of the table and viewing the world through the customer's eyes, you know, what's important to them, and someone being a consultant or a resource to them. I like that to you know, help them, not just, you're not just here to sell a product, but you're here to be a solution for many different parts of their business. Really like a consultant.
Right. Think about it this way. When you make your prospect just feel like an ATM machine, which is exactly what you're talking about. I want to sell you something. It's sort of like, you know, going on a first date and the person saying, look, I want to get married. I don't care who I get married to. I'm just looking to get married. Do you think you'd want to marry me? And like, holy crap, you know, like, can we have a drink first?
Right.
You're dehumanizing people when you sell like that. And I don't even look at that as selling. You're just trying to offload your stuff onto someone. Mm-hmm. And I think where that comes from is a tremendous amount of fear, right? You walk into a sales situation, you don't quite know how to handle yourself. You're worried about getting a no. So you just want to like vomit out everything so that stress can relieve itself. And that's what people do. That's the majority of reason that people sell so poorly is they feel that internal pressure and they just want to get that pressure out. But what they don't realize is they're shooting themselves in the foot. And so one of the things, you know, I'm always on the lookout for tools that help me help my clients increase our performance and reduce stress. So look, I've tried meditating. I've tried like plant medicine, microdosing, all these things. I was turned on to something by a friend. It's this process called binaural beats, and it's listening. It's essentially listening to music, and underneath the music are waveforms. And this company is called Nucalm, NUCALM. I started using it and it has been a complete game changer, right? Hmm. It improves my sleep. And really then one of the number one things that entrepreneurs don't get is sleep. You have to sleep. Okay. So I play this as I'm sleeping, puts me out. It's like a cartoon hammer on my head. Boom, I'm out. It relieves stress. It enhances my focus. So like right before this, I'm listening to Nucalm because I know it's opening up my creativity. The way that the brain works is it is constantly seeking new information. And when there is something that it can latch onto, it will focus on some big. So I use it to get to sleep. I tend not to sleep a whole lot. So there's a rescue channel in this. And what rescue does is you listen to it for 30 minutes in the morning and it makes you feel like you've had a full night of restful sleep. Right. So instead of just running for the coffee, I do Nucalm before I get out of bed. And it is, and by the time I'm done with it in 30 minutes, I'm feeling amazing. So here's the really cool thing.
Yeah.
60 professional sports teams use Nucalm, the US Department of Defense, the Special Forces, Navy SEALs, FBI, like all of these high level government operations that have a lot more stress than I do use it for their people. And it is really taken over. And so I'm in love with this product. All of my clients use it. I encourage everybody to.
Okay. Good to know. I've never heard of a binaural bead.
Binaural beats. Yes.
Binaural beats, not beads. Okay. Good to know. Yeah. I think, you know, as an entrepreneur myself, when it comes to sleep, there are many nights where it takes me a while to fall asleep. Yeah. I just have a busy mind. I think in the world of sales as well, it's another industry where there's another field of profession where it's, you know, you're always thinking, what's the next sale? Or is this deal going to come to fruition? All these different things. And so your mind can stay active and rest is an important part of that to maintain one, your, you know, a good mental health, and then also be able to have the energy day in and day out to go out and continue to make presentations and put yourself out there, get the no's, get the yes, and everything in between.
Staying focused and on top of your thinking. And to your point, easing that monkey mind is critical, because look, selling is listening. And if you don't listen well, you can't sell well. And if your mind is thinking two steps ahead, you aren't in the moment. You aren't there with that person, right? That's when when the person that you're talking to says something that's just a genuine nugget of truth, you want to be able to respond to that immediately. You know, if they share something that they're struggling with that is really clear that they don't talk about a lot, like, wow, you want to jump on that. And appreciate their openness, talk to them about it, see if you can be of service. And if you're not focused, if your mind is three steps ahead, you're going to miss that. And that one conversation could create a lifelong customer just because you showed that you care.
Amazing. Dan, what's the way for people to find you and reach out to you?
Yeah, so it's easy to find me on LinkedIn. Just search for Coach Dan Gordon. The other thing, look, I love talking to people about selling. I love, you know, having quick conversations. So if you want to have a quick chat with me, a little no cost consultation, and I swear to God, I'm not going to try to sell you on being a client. the only thing I will do is I'll show you a glimpse of how badass you can be. Just text the word help, as in, give me some help, Coach Dan. Text the word help, 213-409-8366. Help, H-E-L-P, 213-409-8366. And book a call with me, or just jump onto LinkedIn, or go to my website, dangordonenterprise.com. I mean, there's a lot of ways to get in touch with me. I'd say LinkedIn is a good start. If you just want to get to know me, you can get to my website there. If you feel like having a call with me is something that you want to do, great.
Fantastic. Well, Dan, thank you so much for coming on the Titans of Food Service. I really appreciate it. I learned some new things today as well.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm really glad. Yeah. And you know, one last thing I want to say to you who are listening, not you, Nick, but yeah, you, Nick. So there's a greater version of you inside of you, and that greater version lives in the future. And you know that, right? You know you're trying to get better at what you do. The thing that is preventing you from moving into that greatest version of yourself isn't time. It's not just a matter of getting smarter and learning and getting there. It's a matter of shattering the illusions. The illusions of the beliefs that you have about what you are incapable of achieving. And I can tell, I mean, I go into it. We don't have time, but I can tell you from my experience of the 1,000 entrepreneurs I have coached that becoming that greater version of yourself is about moving into the things that you struggle with, that you fear, that you don't want to do. You need to get rid of the map of the minefield and just start stepping on the landmines. You're not going to blow up. What you're going to do is you're going to discover just how badass you are. And when you do that, your courage is going to increase. Your communication is going to increase, your confidence is going to increase, and you'll start to move into that greater version at a rapid pace. But it takes starting, and I'd love for you to start now. That's my piece.
I love it. Dan, you've been amazing. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.